Greetings and welcome to the Beacon broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church on Kirkpatrick Road in Burlington, North Carolina. The Beacon broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. If you'd like to correspond with Pastor Barkman and the Beacon broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina 27201. The Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. Now with today's message from God's Word, here is Pastor Greg Barkman.
We continue our examination of the first fruit of the Spirit in Galatians chapter 5, namely love, and we're trying to apply it in such a way that we understand in practical terms what it means for Christians to love others. We read in Galatians 5:22, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. And love is the first one, and love is the most important one. Love, in many ways, is the fountain from which all the rest of these characteristics flow. And love, essentially, is a choice to act on behalf of the loved one. And this is one of the hardest things in all the world for us to get our minds around and to keep our minds around, because the world is continually bombarding us with a different concept of love, which is primarily emotional. It's how you feel. But the Bible concept of love is primarily what you do. The action comes first, the feelings follow. It is not that they aren't there, it is not that they aren't important, it's not that they that we should not desire them, that we should ignore them altogether. That's not what I'm saying, and I'm confident that's not what the Bible is saying. If we don't have the right feelings of love toward others that we ought to have, then of course that ought to be a matter of prayer and a matter of concern for us, but that's not the essence of love, and the best way to develop the proper feelings is to obey with the proper actions. And when you are obedient to what the Bible tells you to do, it's not long until the proper feelings will follow. Your heart will warm to the task of obeying what your will has already determined that you are going to do, out of obedience to Christ and to His Word. And we were demonstrating this yesterday from Ephesians chapter 5 in the command that the Bible gives husbands to love their wives. And this is just one good illustration, but it is a good one. It helps make the point that we're trying to establish here, that biblical love is primarily a decision to do something. So when we read, husbands, love your wives, just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her, the idea is be willing to sacrifice for your wife and demonstrate that at appropriate occasions when the opportunity arises. You can demonstrate love no matter how you feel, but if you do demonstrate love, you will no doubt find that your feelings will be greatly magnified, your warm feelings, your romantic feelings. Hers will toward you, yours will toward her, but if that's not even there at all, if that measures zero or minus on the emotion scale, you can still do what you ought to do. You can choose to make sacrifices on her behalf. Verse 26 tells us that Christ loved the church by sanctifying and cleansing her with the washing of water by the word. You can determine that you are going to minister God's word to your wife and encourage her in those areas of spiritual opportunity that will help to sanctify and cleanse her with the word of God. It goes on to say in verse 27 that he, that is Christ, might present her to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and without blemish. So, husbands ought to love their own wives. Does that link to the sanctifying effect upon the bride of Christ? Maybe, maybe not. Maybe it links more to what is said in verse 28. So we move on to verse 28. So husbands ought to love their own wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. What does that mean? It's explained, verse 29. For no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as the Lord does the church. Back and forth between Christ and the church, and the husband and his wife. It's just so intertwined, it's hard to separate the one from the other. But here's the point in this body illustration. The way you show love is to show as much concern about the needs of your wife physically as you show for your own needs physically. You love your own body. No one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it. Case in point, when you get hungry, you find a way to feed yourself, if all possible. When you get thirsty, you find something to drink, if at all possible. You take care of your body. You take care of your needs. You take care of the things that you feel a desire for at this simple level. If you need clothes, you get them. If you need shelter, you find a way to provide it. If you need transportation, you find a way to provide it. Now, show just as much concern for your wife in these areas as you do for yourself. Don't throw her out there to fend for herself. If she's hungry, let her take care of it. She knows how to take care of it. Of course she does. But if you would show a concern for that, honey, are you hungry? You've been working hard today. Let me fix something to eat. That would blow some wives away, wouldn't it? Or, if it's more suitable in your situation and more appropriate to your abilities, honey, don't bother to cook tonight. You've had a long, hard day. You're tired. Let's go out and eat together. Or if she's too tired to go out, well, let me go out and get something and I'll bring it back and you won't have to fix. You know, these are ways to demonstrate love. This is love in action, showing concern for your wife, for her needs. You're as concerned about her hunger as you are about your own hunger. Honey, you haven't had a new dress for a while. Let's go buy you a dress. Now, you say, Pastor Barkman, do you enjoy doing that? Not particularly. I'm happy for my wife to have a new dress, but do I really enjoy going and shopping and sitting there and watching her try it on and giving my opinion and so forth? Frankly, no, I really don't enjoy it. But it's a demonstration of love to my wife. Therefore, I'm happy to do it when I have opportunity. You see, these are ways we demonstrate love. It's a very practical thing. It's a very active thing. It's a matter of decision, a matter of choice, a matter of volition. It's practical concern to do for the loved one what needs to be done or what is desirable to be done, what they need, what they desire. Try to meet that need. That's love. That's love on the practical level. That's love. And you can do it if you will. It's not a matter of how you feel. It's a matter of will you do it? I promise you, when you do, feelings will follow. But the problem is we get it backwards and we let our feelings dictate our actions instead of letting our actions lead our feelings. We let our feelings dictate our actions. So we don't feel the emotional relationship with our wife that we once had. And of course, this is a two-way street, wives to husbands as much as husbands to wives. But I'm in the Ephesians 5 passage, so I'll continue with the husband-to-wife illustration. The relationship is strained. We don't feel the same way that we used to about them. And so what do? Well, we just start acting like they don't matter to us. We ignore them. Ignore their needs. Ignore their wishes and desires. We become more callous, more insensitive. We become wrapped up in our own world. We become more and more absorbed with ourselves. We're only concerned about our needs, our wishes, our desires. We pay very little attention to those of our spouse. And what are we doing? We are demonstrating an absence of love. And love is a command. Husbands, love your wives. It's not optional. And it's not emotional, primarily. It's volitional. Husbands, love your wives. It's a command. Act in a loving way toward them, which you can do if you are willing to do, which you can do if you are obedient to the Lord. If you don't do it, it's because you are disobedient. It's because you are sinning. Remember the couple that I talked about a broadcast or two ago when the husband sat in my study more than 20 years ago and said, well, the problem is I just don't love my wife anymore, as if that's the end of that. And I said, when did you stop obeying Scripture? And he looked at me like I was crazy. But that's the truth. If you don't love your wife anymore, then you've stopped obeying the Scripture. The Scripture says, husbands, love your wives. So if you don't love her, then you are telling me with your own lips that you have chosen to disobey the Word of God. That's what you are doing. You thought that you were not accountable. You thought that something that you couldn't help, that you had no control over, had happened to you, that your emotional love had disappeared, and by some involuntary action, it was gone, and there was nothing you could do about it, and you misunderstand the biblical concept of love altogether. If you are not loving your wife, it's because you are disobeying the Word of God, because the Bible says, husbands, love your wives. And the same thing is true for wives toward their husbands. In the book of Titus, Paul tells Titus to teach the older women, or tell the older women, command the older women, to teach the younger women to love their husbands. It can be learned. It can be taught. It's not a feeling, first and foremost. You know, in Bible days, most of the marriages were arranged, and oftentimes the people didn't even know each other. The parents just made the arrangement. Now, sometimes they did. They were friends. They were neighbors, people in the community. They didn't know the other person. But it wasn't that they fell in love and decided to get married. It's that their parents chose this person for them and they got married. And you say, boy, that must have been a lot of loveless marriages and a lot of failed marriages. The evidence is that the failure rate was a lot less than ours. And it must have been entirely possible to have a wonderful love relationship there, given some of the examples we find in the Bible. And if love can be learned, it can be taught, then it really doesn't, it doesn't have to be somebody that you fell in love with. It has to be somebody that you can set your object of action upon and begin to do the actions that demonstrate love. And older women can help the younger women to understand what those things are, just like I've tried to help husbands on the broadcast today and yesterday understand what some of those things are. It can be learned. It can be taught. And you can do it. It's an action. That's why it can be commanded. Until tomorrow, at the same time, this is Greg Barkman, Bible teacher on the Beacon broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina 27201, saying, good day. May God give you His eternal peace.